It's been said that the brain is a computer made out of 3 pounds of meat. That's exactly right. That's exactly what it is. And only an omniscient God could build a computer like that. Your brain is comprised of 100 billion neurons, the nerve cells that carry the electrical and chemical signals through about 100 trillion connectors. It's an amazing computer. Various parts of your brain are responsible for various skills that you possess. The left side of your brain, for example, is considered the seat of verbal skills and logical skills. The right side of your brain is considered the seat of emotions and the artistic skills that some people have. Science has recently discounted the idea of left brain dominance or right brain dominance, and that's fine, but it's an indisputable fact that some people are more logical in their approach to life, and some people are more emotional in their approach to life. A lot of that is just the way that our brains work. But there are implications to this left brain, right brain thing for those who are the people of God. And I'd like for us to consider some of those implications in the lesson this morning. It certainly has implications in the area of our talents. I mean, that's the area that would first kind of stand out to us, I think, that some people who tend to be more left brain dominant, some people who tend to be more right brain dominant, might shine in certain areas and not so much in others. So that much of the talent that we have is sort of based upon left brain or right brain dominance. Romans chapter 12, when we think of talents, this is the passage I tend to think of, Romans chapter 12 and beginning in verse 6, where the apostle there writes about various gifts that we have as Christians. He says, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, let's use them. If prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. The one who teaches in teaching, the one who exhorts in exhortation, the one who gives with liberality, the one who leads with diligence, the one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. A number of different areas of talents or gifts, as they are described here, that we have. The one that he mentions in verse 6 is the idea of prophecy. That was a first century miraculous gift that was given by the laying on of the apostles' hands. That particular miraculous gift, certainly like the other miraculous gifts, not with us in this day and time. But these other gifts are gifts that we would still see in our day and time. Not miraculous, but they're certainly around. He mentions, for example, the gift of ministry. The word ministry there is a pretty generic term. It's a term that carries with it the idea of serving or service. Let me ask you, is that a left brain thing or a right brain thing? If you're going to be a servant, is that something that requires more of a logical set of skills, or is that more of an emotional set of skills that would be required? You can look at several different passages that might help you to answer that question. Luke chapter 10 comes to mind. Luke chapter 10 in verse 40, where you have Mary and Martha. Jesus comes to visit. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha, it says in verse 40, was distracted by much serving. And that's really the word that we're using, or that we're seeing here in Romans chapter 12, the idea of ministry, the idea of service. She was distracted with much serving. She approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Now, I understand the larger message of the story of Mary and Martha and, you know, the predominant concerns that we need to have there. But I want to focus on the idea of Martha being the servant. She was serving as the homemaker that she was. And I would ask the question, you know, does that particular area of service, does that require left brain skills or right brain skills? I can tell you, somebody who cooked rice just a few days ago, that's very much, at least in that part of it, is a left brain thing. You know how long you cook long grain rice for? 17 minutes. It ain't 16. It ain't 18. 17 minutes. And there's other processes you got to go through, and you got to get the fire just right, because if you get the fire too hot, you end up burning the rice. And that's when your wife comes in bless your heart, the right brain person who has compassion for her husband who burns the rice, and she cleans the pan after I burn the rice. And so, you know, maybe cooking rice requires a little bit of a left brain and a right brain thing. It's a service thing, and service generally is going to require a little bit of both, left brain, right brain stuff. Turn over to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. You remember here the Grecians were being neglected in the daily ministration, the record says. And in verse 2, the 12, those apostles, summoned the multitude of disciples together and said, it's not desirable that we, the apostles, should leave the word of God to serve tables. And so they told them to pick out seven guys who could do this. And in verse 4, he said, but we, the apostles, will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The word ministry there, by the way, is the same word as serve there in verse 3, which is the same word as ministry back in Romans chapter 12, the idea of service. So here in Acts chapter 6, you have individuals who were focused on serving tables, and other individuals, the apostles in this case, who were focused on serving the Word. Serving brothers and sisters in Christ, the Word of God. By the way, that's why sometimes preachers are called ministers. Did you know that? It's not that we're the only ministers, you know. We should all be servants in that sense. But we are ministers of the Word specifically. It's what we're tasked to do. We serve up, instead of serving up physical food, we serve up spiritual food. And again, if we ask the question, so is that a left brain thing or is that a right brain thing? Well, again, it could be a little of both. And so you got to be able to put together cogent thoughts. You got to be able to organize your thoughts and so forth. Got to be able to understand what the Word of God actually teaches. So that's kind of a left brain thing. But you also got to have a care for people. Got to have a compassionate heart for the souls of people. That's a right brain thing. A little bit of both that's required there if you're talking about serving the Word of God. As he goes on here in Romans chapter 12, teaching is actually the next thing that he mentions, the next gift that we could talk about. Left brain thing, right brain thing, which one is it? Those of you who have been teachers will tell you it's a little bit of both. You know, you got to have the left brain to kind of organize things, and you have to have the right side of the brain to be creative and all of that, and that's good. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and toward the end of that chapter, starting, let's take up in verse 23. Where Paul writes to Timothy and says, you need to avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. A lot of times disputes focus on left brain stuff. And so we get into arguments because the left side of the brain says, I'm going to be right about this, and we're going to have this conversation, and before we're done, you're going to know that I'm right about this thing. Now, it could be a right brain thing. A person could get angry, you know, and because they have a lot of pride and all of that, and so they get all caught up in that part of the discussion. I want to be right because it's me, you know, and all of that. And so maybe teaching, a little bit of both. He comes on down to exhortation here in Romans chapter 12. Exhortation. Left brain, right brain. The word to exhort, sometimes translated by the word to encourage. When you encourage someone, are you doing a left brain thing or a right brain thing? Did you know the word exhort or encourage here is from the Greek word parakaleo? Kaleo is the word we get our word call from, to call out, okay? Para means beside. Parakaleo means to call someone beside you. And it stirs up the image of putting your arm around someone, to be the encourager, to be the exhorter for that person, to encourage them to keep on keeping on. I would say that's probably primarily a right brain thing because you have that compassionate, empathetic heart to people, and so you're trying to be that encourager for people, kind of like Barnabas was. In Romans chapter 12, the next gift that he mentions there is the gift of giving. Is that a left brain or a right brain thing? Well, maybe you use the left side of your brain to do the nickels and dimes over 50 years, and you end up then, because you did a lot of left brain thinking about your money, you ended up with a big pile of money. But maybe it's the right side of the brain that is the compassionate side that says, you know what, I need to share what I've got now. Leading, the next gift that he mentions there, Elders are not the only leaders in a congregation, but they certainly occupy a very significant leadership role in a congregation. Even young folks can be leaders, though. And I want you to understand this. You can't be an elder yet, okay? But you can be a leader. You can be an influencer among your peers, encouraging people your same age and so forth to do the right thing. You can be those kinds of leaders as young people. Elders are certainly leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17 actually describes them that way. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. That idea of ruling in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17 is the same word we're looking at here in Romans chapter 12. Leadership, is that a left brain or a right brain thing? Well, again, as any elder will tell you, it's a little both. You know, you've got to be able to be organized. You got to know who your sheep are. You got to know, you know, who's here, who's not, and why, and all of that. That takes a lot of organizational skills, and that's why they actually incorporate the deacons, as Alan mentioned a few moments ago, to help them in some of those processes. But it also takes a very compassionate part. They are shepherds over a flock. They are trying to save the souls of the men and women who are part of this congregation, trying to save their souls. That is a right brain, compassionate component. And then to show mercy, to be merciful to someone, that's probably a right brain thing. Now, I know what some of you are thinking at this point. You're thinking, preacher, what all does that have to do with the gospel, right? Let me tell you, there are implications to all of this for those of us who are the people of God. One of the obvious implications is, maybe you can think a little bit about which side of the brain is more dominant in your particular life, and so that you can kind of maybe focus on those kinds of skills, you can kind of accentuate those kinds of skills, and so that if you do tend to be more left brain logical, you can focus on those kinds of gifts, which we discussed already in some of these gifts that we looked at. If you're more right brain dominant, maybe you can focus on some of those kinds of skills, because maybe those are the kinds of things that you're more more fluent in and more able to do. There's another very interesting observation that scientists have made about the left brain and the right brain. And that is, you can develop either one. And that has implications for us, because sometimes folks will say, I can't do that. That's not my ability. That's not my talent. I can't do that. And maybe it comes down to a left brain, right brain thing. And it could be other excuses why people may not want to do this or that. But if it comes down to a left brain, right brain thing, just not my skill, you know, I'm more left brain oriented. Did you know you can develop the right side of your brain? So that if you're a person who is more left-brained, did you know that you can learn empathy? You can learn to be more empathetic? The left side of the brain says, you deserved it, chop, chop. The right side of the brain says, maybe there's an opportunity here for me to be merciful. Maybe there's something here that I can be empathetic about. You can develop that side of your brain. And at the same time, if you tend to be more of the artistic right brain person, you know you can actually develop the left side of your brain, the more logical side of your brain. You can actually develop that. And so that maybe you can learn to put together outlines. Maybe you can learn to put together a curriculum for classes in the back. That requires a left brain skill. I know there's a little bit of right brain creativity in there, but it does take a left brain skill to actually organize an extensive curriculum. It's going to be used over several different classes, over several different weeks, and all of that. I mean, that's a very left brain kind of a thing to do. Even right brain people can use the left side of their brain and develop it to be more able to do more in the kingdom. Do you see what we're talking about? We're talking about increasing our talent, to increase our ability to do things in the kingdom, to extend beyond our comfort zone, the things that we are naturally good at, to the things that maybe we don't think we're good at, but maybe we can develop those things. That's one of the implications of this whole left brain, right brain thing. But it's not the only other one. There is also implications for the interpersonal relationships that we have. In marriage, for example, some of you have been through the Gary Smalley marriage series that we teach here from time to time. Actually, in our own home, Debbie and I teach that series as a marriage class. We've done that a number of times through the years. Many of you have been a part of that. You might remember that one of the points that Gary Smalley makes is the fact that that men and women, because we sometimes tend to be more left brain or right brain, that we sometimes tend to not communicate very well. And so it might be, not always, but it might be that the man is left brain, more logical, the woman is more right brain, more emotional. I'm not trying to stereotype here, because sometimes it's exactly the opposite. But when we're not on the same wavelength, miscommunication can happen. It's kind of the foundation for that book that was popular 30 years ago, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And what the Bible tells us, in passages like Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, is for husbands to love their wives. Now, why would Paul tell husbands to do that? Well, it's because of what love is. Love is patient and kind and so forth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You can see all of those characteristics of love. And if a husband loves his wife, even though they may not always communicate well, he will be patient and he will be kind with her and all of that. He's not going to be overbearing. He's not going to be hateful to her. He's not going to ridicule her. He's not going to put her down. Even if they don't always communicate well, because one's left brain, one's right brain, that's okay. We can still treat one another with love. By the way, women, I don't have it up here on the screen, but women are told to love their husbands in Titus chapter 2 and in verse 4. And so, yeah, it has implications for a husband and wife and their marital relationship. If you don't happen to be on the same page, left brain, right brain, learn to communicate. Learn to be patient with one another. Learn that we have different skills, different ways of thinking about things. And let's learn to coexist in a loving and harmonious way. It has implications in our relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ. We talk about this quite often from this pulpit. The one another responsibilities that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we've already talked about those gifts in Romans chapter 12, right? A couple of them. Exhort. You know, you have the gift of exhorting, then exhort, right? If you have the gift of teaching, then teach. Did you know those are two of those 40-some-odd responsibilities that Christians have one toward another? We're all commanded to exhort. And you say, well, that's not my side of the brain. Well, learn to do that side of the brain. We're commanded to teach one another. Well, that's just not my... Learn to do this thing. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We can learn to do this. And so, whether it's those gifts or whether it's some of the other 40-some-odd responsibilities, we have to care for one another. That's probably a right brain thing. We have to be forgiving of one another. That's probably a right brain thing. We have to be kind to one another. That's probably a right brain thing. But hey, left brain people can make a decision to be caring and forgiving and to be kind one to another. And we better learn it, because these are things that God commands us to do. All of that, of course, encompassed by the responsibility to love one another. Again, it's so easy to say, well, preacher, I'm just not a forgiving person. It's just not in my nature. But what did we say? You can learn to develop that side of the brain that's not your dominant side. Develop it. Learn it. If exhorting is not your thing, learn to exhort. If encouraging is not your thing, learn to be an encourager. If being caring is not your thing, learn to care. If being forgiving is not your thing, I'm just not a forgiving person. You better learn to be a forgiving person. If kindness and love, or if those are not your things, you better learn those things. You better figure it out. Because those are responsibilities that we all have one to another. And I'll remind you of the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 6 and in verse 46. Not on the screen, but that's where Jesus says, "Why would you call me your Lord and not do what I tell you to do?" You cannot use your brain dominance, left brain, right brain, as an excuse not to do the will of God. Develop the side of your brain that you need to develop to be all that God would have you to be. And there are certainly implications as it relates to our relationship with God. So many people in the world in which we live today, they approach a relationship with God from a purely right brain perspective. That's a very emotional perspective. I was talking to one of our members. She's here this morning, and she said she was having a conversation with a lady, five-point Calvinist, here not too many days ago. And this lady, when she found out that one of our members here, that she didn't believe that the Holy Spirit, you know, talks to us directly separate from the Word, and we don't have this emotional vibe, you know, with the Holy Spirit. She said, "Well, I'm done with you. We can't have a conversation. If you don't think the Holy Spirit deals with you directly in your heart, then we just can't have a conversation." And that illustrates exactly what we're talking about, that whole right brain experience that says you've got to have that emotional experience in order to know that you're right with God. Is that what the Bible teaches? Now again, what the response will be was, I don't care what the Bible says. I wouldn't trade this emotional feeling that I have for a whole stack of Bibles. Some people say that. They argue it that way. They want the emotional experience. To them, the emotional experience is proof that they have a relationship with God. That's not what the Bible says. This would be like those folks in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 22, where Jesus says, "Many will say unto me on that day, on the day of judgment, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders, many wonderful works in your name? Haven't we done all these great things? Aren't you like awed by all these awesome things that we're doing?" And the response of Jesus in verse 23, I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Listen to this. You who work lawlessness. Law. He references the law of Christ, the law of God. Is that a left brain thing or a right brain thing? Well, if we're going to come to understand the law of God, we're going to have to read it. We're going to have to employ logical processes, reading skills, understanding. Those are left brain constructs. And Jesus says you better be employing the left side of your brain and not depending on the right side of your brain, all the emotional things that you think are so wonderful, because if you are lawless, you will depart from me. I will not be in fellowship with you, and you will not be spending eternity with me. It becomes especially difficult when people attribute those emotional experiences to the Holy Spirit, because to them, that's God talking directly to them. Heard a guy on the radio this morning talking about how the Holy Spirit told him to do this and this and this. And again, my response to all of that is, you know, God put it to me in writing. And the left side of all of our brains can read it and understand it. Now, there are those who sometimes make it a predominantly left brain experience as well, and that's another problem. They come at the Word of God from the bean counting angle, as I would call it. They're the bean counters. And they look at the Word of God, and those are these, you know, checking the boxes kinds of people. And so we're going to check all the boxes. And so that's kind of how the Pharisees looked at it. Matthew chapter 23. Passage Stephen read for us a few moments ago. Matthew chapter 23 and in verse 23. Very interesting passage to me when you think of it from a left brain, right brain perspective. "Woe unto you," Jesus says, "you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin." Now I want you to stop right there. These were the smallest of the herbs. And he says, "You even bother to tithe that." Let me tell you, that's bean counting to an exponential degree. These guys were all about counting beans, tithe it all, down to the smallest herbs. And he went on to say, however, you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith, or faithfulness, as some translations say. Justice and mercy, look at those two things. Justice could be defined as having empathy for the victim. Somebody has been wronged. Justice says, I feel for the victim, and I want to be sure that the victim is compensated for, that the victim is made whole, made right, if possible. And that's what justice is. It says that I have empathy for somebody who has been wronged. Mercy has empathy for the repentant guilty, the person who is the perpetrator but has repented of that. Mercy says, because you have humbled yourself, we will be kind to you. We will treat you not as you deserve, but as mercy allows. Did you know that's exactly how God deals with us? If it was all about justice, we would all be lost. There's none of us would be saved if it was all about justice. I thank God that mercy is a large part of how He deals with us. But it's not a wholesale mercy. It's available to everyone, but not everybody takes advantage of it. Why? Because not everybody is a repentant individual. Not everybody wants to be forgiven of their sin, and so they'll not be forgiven. But for the repentant guilty, mercy needs to be available. Now, those are right brain constructs. Having empathy, whether it's for the victim or for the repentant guilty, those are right brain constructs. Which of those two, the left brain bean counter or the right brain empathetic, which of those two did Jesus point to? Look at the last part of the verse. These you ought to have done, bean counters. It's okay to tithe mint and dill and cumin, but not to neglect the other. Jesus said, being right with God is a left brain and right brain effort. They've got to work in synergy. They have to work together in order to be what God would have us to be. And as we have already said, the beauty of the brain is that God designed it that we can do both. You cannot fall in love with love to the extent that you ignore the Word of God. That's an erroneous, wrong-headed, right-brain approach to a relationship with God. But neither can we neglect mercy and empathy just because we're left-brain people. We need to have both, and we can do both. We must do both if we would be right with God. He gave you the left side of your brain so that you can understand His will. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Be not unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. That requires the left side of your brain to be fully engaged as you study the Word, read the Word, you're processing the Word. You're trying to come to an understanding of what God's will is. But He gave you the right side of your brain so that you can be motivated to respond to God's Word, to respond from the heart, the emotional seat of our being. And so it's the right side of the brain that produces sorrow for sin. I understand intellectually I've sinned. It's the right side of the brain that brings me to my knees because of my sin. It's the right side of the brain that produces sympathy for the cross, that brings me to my knees when I remember the body that hung upon the cross, the blood that was shed upon the cross. That's by God's design. This Lord's Supper that we partake of on the first day of every week is to engage the right side of our brain, not just the left side, remembering what happened 2,000 years ago. Interesting thing that happened there on the cross. No, the right side of the brain says, I am sorry that it was my sin that put you there. I am sorry that you had to suffer on the cross and die for me. That's the right side of the brain talking. And it's the right side of the brain that experiences the joy of salvation when the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. In Acts chapter 8, that was the right side of his brain. The left side was trying to understand Isaiah chapter 53. And Philip helped him to understand that and brought him to understand Jesus, brought him to understand the importance of faith and repentance, and yes, baptism, because when they came to the water, the eunuch said, here's water, what keeps me from being baptized? And so Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. They came up out of the water. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Now, that's the right side of the brain. Why? Because he had been forgiven of his sins. Are you a left brain person? Or are you a right brain person? My prayer to God is that we're both. That we can employ both sides of our brains to be the people that God would have us to be. The invitation is open to you, as it always is, but no more convenient time for you to respond to it than right now. If you're not a Christian, then put your faith in Jesus as God's Son. Repent of your sins. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. We can help you with that this very hour if you'll let us know that that's your need. And as always, if you're a member of the church here that needs the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, we encourage you to respond as well while we stand and sing.